I want you to take your Bible today and turn to the book of Nehemiah, please. Look, and I'll sing, just write it down and have somebody bring it up here to me. Nehemiah, chapter number 6. Now, I'm going to make you a promise. The service has gone long this morning. I will do all I can to make sure that this is not a lengthy sermon, but we will have our preaching. Nehemiah, chapter number 6, please. And I want you to do this. I want you to stand with me, if you will. Nehemiah, chapter 6. And I'm going to read out loud, and you can follow along silently. Nehemiah, chapter 6. I want you to look at verse number 1. The Bible says this: Now it came to pass, when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall, and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now I want you to go to verse number 11. And the Bible says, And I said, Should such a man as I flee? If you'll look back at me for a moment. I'm going to preach a sermon this morning that if you came to be helped, I think you'll be helped at church today. I promise you that. We come to church, we have smiles on our face, we do our best to give the impression everything's going well and going good. But so often, down deep in someone's heart, there's a heartache, there's an empty spot, and I think I want to help with that particular need today. I'm going to pray, and then you can be seated. Father, bless us in a supernatural way with thy presence. Lord, you know, in my thinking, I don't want these folks to be uncomfortable. I don't want to inconvenience them. We've had music, we've had a lot of fun, a lot of things happened here already. God, I do not want the sermon to become second place, which means this, Lord, you will have to strengthen my mind. You'll have to strengthen the listeners' minds, so that they will pay close attention to the preaching of the Word of God. Limit the interruptions. Maximize the attention. Spirit of God, reach down and do something unique in these next few minutes, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat, if you will. The passage of Scripture that I just read to you, I want to briefly comment on it. A man by the name of Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem. Sanballat and Tobiah were two men that had become his enemies. Those two men had rallied an enemy to oppose the rebuilding of this wall. And so, here's a man named Nehemiah. He's under a lot of pressure. He's trying to do something for God, and then he's attacked. And in the midst of all of this, you hear these words come from Nehemiah. And he says this, and he said, Should such a man as I flee? I want you to understand something. I think Nehemiah is a courageous man. I think Nehemiah is a bold man. But for a moment, probably in private, this preacher named Nehemiah, he has to say to himself, I'm not going to run. I'm going to stick with this thing. Which means this, for a moment, he debated as to what he was going to do. Do you know, all of us would like to seem strong. But anybody here, teenagers through adulthood, we all face things in life sometimes, and it's so heavy and it's so scary, we wonder about just running away from it. Please stay with me. I was preaching. I had the privilege of preaching out from time to time, and I was picked up at the airport from a pastor, and he had had a couple of very difficult years at his church, and I'd not spoken to him an awful lot over those 2 years, and he was a country preacher. And he had started a church from nothing, and he had faced a lot of uphill battles, and nobody would really understand that until you'd been a pastor. But we were traveling back from the airport, and I asked him this question. I said, Preacher, how's it going? How are things going? And he told me this story. He said, well, Brother Owens, he said, it's not been about a year ago. He said, I was in my basement. And in my basement, I had a butane heater. And it's a kind of a wood-burning heater, but a mock wood-burning heater. He said when I would light that thing, when it would start to get a little cool, he said it was my habit that I would go to where that heater was, and I would almost lay my chest on the big metal plate on top of it, and I would reach in to the heater until I could find the igniter button. And, you know, an old flint igniter, he said I'd push that button, and then the flame would pop that furnace on in my basement. He said, there's this big old steel plate on top. He said, I'd be kind of lazy. I'd just go there, and he said, I'd just lay my face and my chest down on that thing. I'd reach inside, and I'd push the button, and it would ignite. He said, well, I never stuck my head in there. Never did. He said, I would just push the button. He said, I had no idea on this particular day, Brother Owens, that there had the butane had been leaking. It had been leaking so bad it had filled our basement. It filled our entire home, and I did not realize it. He said, I walked in from the out of doors. I walked down to the basement. I went down. I laid on that old furnace. He said, I put my chest down on like I always had before. He said, I reached in. I felt around till I found that igniter button. He said, and I pushed the button. He said, when I pushed the button, there was an explosion. He said, it kind of knocked me silly. He said, I felt the fire roll up and around me on that stove. It blew out the basement windows. It blew out the doors and the windows of the upstairs of our home. I had no idea that my entire home had been filled with those fumes. He said, the fire rolled around me like a tunnel. He said, Brother Owens, the habit of my lighting that furnace with my chest and face down, that steel plate, it saved my life. It saved my life that I had just kind of been lazy as I would light that thing. He said, the fire rolled up and all through the house. He said, I felt it on my chest and on my hands. It kind of reminds me personally when he was telling the story. The Bible says in Psalm 91:4 that God is our shield and buckler. He said by the end of this story, his house had burnt to the ground and he lost everything. They lost everything. The baby clothes, picture albums, they had lost everything. He told me, he said, Pastor, now understand, we're riding from the airport back to his church where I'm going to preach. And I asked the simple question, how's it been going? And he begins to tell me what had happened to him the previous 15 months of his life. He said this, he said, at first I didn't feel like I was burnt badly. He said, my chest and my face and things, they were red from the heat. And I was a little, I suppose, in shock. He said, I got out of that basement. The paramedics arrived. And he said, it's all kind of foggy to me. He said, but I looked down and I noticed the skin on my hands and arms went from being red to blister. Then he said, it began to curl up. And I watched my skin. I felt like I looked like an alligator from the burns. He said they put me in an ambulance. They raced me to the burn unit of the hospital. He said on the way they gave me morphine to help kill the pain. My body was covered with these burns. He said my internal parts would have been baked except for I laid on that steel plate and somehow God protected me and my vitals as I went through this fire. So the paramedics, while I was in the ambulance, they gave me morphine, but it did not kill the pain. He said, I was covered with burns. Said, finally, the only thing that brought me a moment of relief, he said, a paramedic took some gauze and dipped it in some saline solution or purified water. And they would squeeze that above my head and it would trickle down my face. And he said, I could feel the relief as a drop of water relinquished the pain on my chest. And he said, it has been a tough year. And I said, well, I asked, how's it going? And he said, well, Brother Owens, this is what he said to me. It set me back. He said, well, Brother Owens, let me put it to you this way. Now that I'm past the quitting point, I'm going to be okay. What a simple yet powerful statement. Now that I'm past the quitting point, I'm going to be fine. Anybody here that's lived very much life at all, you've come to the heartache, the burden, or some catastrophe in life that maybe put you in the situation where you were facing in your emotions what we would call the quitting point. We don't publicly admit it, but we all know what is meant by the quitting point. Are you at the quitting point today in your life? I can tell you this, the only reason I'm still in the ministry today that because of the grace of God, and there came a day when I faced the quitting point and I was able to make it past the quitting point. Sometimes, folks, it's not how smart you are in life, it's just a matter of can you make it past the quitting point. Sometimes it doesn't matter how much money you have, because money doesn't make a difference. Sometimes what will make a difference in your life is you've got to make it past the quitting point. Doesn't matter how popular you are, it matters can you make it past the quitting point. Doesn't matter how attractive you are or if there's a lack of attraction. The truth of the matter is, bottom line in life, you'll keep going and succeed in your Christian life if you can just make it past the quitting point. Sometimes it's not how doctrinally correct you are or not. You can be very doctrinally correct, and I've watched people not make it past the quitting point. You got to learn how to keep on going when the going gets tough. It's not always how educated you are. Sometimes you just got to learn how to get past the quitting point. Not always how physically strong you are. You just got to learn to get past the quitting point. Nehemiah was building a wall, and he was being attacked. And Nehemiah, I think, in the stillness and the dark of the night, all by himself, was facing a lot of pressure, and he had a burden on him. And Nehemiah finally came to himself, and he said, you know what? Should a man such as I flee? You say, what was Nehemiah saying? Nehemiah said, I'm not quitting. I'm going to keep on going. You look throughout the Bible, there's story after story of people that faced some very difficult things, but they made it past the quitting point. Noah, in Genesis chapter 6, was building an ark, and what some people don't understand is it had never rained before that day. But that day, it was going to rain, and Noah was living in a wicked day, and his family was asked to build an ark, and I'm sure that they were mocked, and they were teased. And let me explain, that ark took 140 years to build. 140 years. And I am sure you could meet Mr. Noah in his church office one night and say, Noah, how's it going? And he probably was thinking, I don't know if I want to build this ark anymore. Nobody wants to show up down at the church and help me. I've got my hands full. The kids in the neighborhood are TPing the ark, and things aren't going real well. How you doing, Noah? And the next morning, Noah said, now that I'm past the quitting point, we're going to finish this ark, and we're going to go down in history for doing so. But that was a long-term difficulty. Job, oh my, who wants to be Job? God looked throughout the whole earth looking for someone that wanted to set the example on how to suffer. Job was a great sufferer for God. Had I been at the meeting and God said, who wants to set the example, I would not have put my hand up. I would have nudged my brother and say, he wants to know who wants candy and hope he put his hand up. But I'm here to tell you, oh, what Job went through. He lost all of his oxen and his donkeys and his sheep and his servants and his camels and his servants. And a tornado came and a tornado killed 10 of Job's children. He lost his friendships. He had struggle with his wife. And I'm sure that at the end of it, Job sat with his hand in his face saying, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can go any further. But thank God, you find out in the scripture, Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You know what Job finally said? Job said, I'm going to make it past this quitting point. I don't know where you're at in life, but you know, sometimes life piles up on you. The burdens and the heartaches and the pains, and it gets heavy. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands in the air and say, I quit. I don't want to do anymore. Let me recommend to everybody in here, you just hang in there. You got to get past the quitting point. There's a story in the Bible of the man by the name of Peter. As we all know, Peter got himself into some trouble. He denies Christ and he lies about knowing Christ. But if you came to Peter, after it was all said and done, Peter's sin became very heavy on him. He had denied Christ. I wonder if he thought he would ever be used again But thank God, Peter made it past the quitting point. You know what that resulted in? Peter went out not many days later and preached a revival and had 3,000 people saved. I would say Peter got past the quitting point. But not only that, there's a man by the name of Hosea in the Bible. His wife's name was Gomer. That's not Gomer Pyle. Hosea was a good man, found in Hosea chapter 1, and his wife betrayed him. Matter of fact, his wife left him. His wife went out, and the Bible actually says she went into whoredom. His wife, Hosea, taking care of the kids and doing everything that he could do. And his wife was out and gone. But let me tell you something. You find out later on in the story, all the pressure and everything that he faced in that marital situation, Hosea came out on top. And you know what Hosea did? Hosea said, I've got to get past this quitting point. I've got to get past it. There's a man by the name of John in the Bible. You read in Revelation chapter 1, John is an incredible man. He's called John the Beloved. He was a part of the inner circle for Jesus Christ. He stood for Christ without apology. He traveled with Jesus. He was at the cross with Jesus. And to get this, that John was so despised in his day and age, eventually he was banned to an island. It's called the Isle of Patmos. While on the Isle of Patmos, they so mistreated John for his stand for Jesus Christ. While he was yet alive, the enemies of Jesus boiled him in oil. I want you to picture John sitting on the bank of the Isle of Patmos, his body full of scars, all alone, sitting there. I'm going to guess there was a moment in John's life where he might have thought, I don't want to wonder if this is worth it. I don't know if I can take it. I don't know if I can make it. But the Bible says that the next thing you know, John picks up an ink pen. John begins to write. And what John wrote was, it was called the Book of Revelation. The Book of Revelation tells us that Jesus is coming again, and he's going to take us out of this entire mess that we must face down here. Had you gone to John maybe the day before he started writing Revelation, said, how's it going, John? He might have said, I'm thinking about quitting. But thank God, John got past the quitting point, and then he ends up encouraging all of us with this thought. Hey, in this life we go through some tough times. But let me tell you, Jesus is coming again. And when he does come again, we will get past this whole mess and all the burdens and all the heartaches that we face. But I got to tell you, folks, everybody faces burdens and everybody faces heartaches. And anybody here that's lived for very long, you know exactly what I'm saying. There comes a moment when we want to throw in the towel. There comes a moment when we kind of want to give up. There comes a moment when it's bigger than us. And we almost don't want to face tomorrow. Here's what you have to do. You've got to make it past that quitting point. Have you ever noticed that you cry in the night, but many times you wake up the next morning and the sun shine and the air is fresh and you feel like, you know what? I think I can make it. I think I can take it. I can go through another day. We've got to get past the quitting point in life. There are some very simple areas that you got to be careful of in regard to this thing called the quitting point. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 20, it says, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. You know what that's telling you? You be faithful, that'll get you past the quitting point. That means when you're facing something difficult, just keep serving God. Just keep going. Just be faithful. Take another step with your job. I pastor a mass of the people that are here, but a bunch of you. I don't pastor you, but let me give you a little piece of advice. When you go into work, and it's one of those real bad days where you can't seem to do anything right and the boss isn't liking any of it, be careful. I couldn't tell you how many times when I was working secularly on the way home, in my mind, I wrote out my resignation. I said, I have had it with this place. I'm going in tomorrow and turning in my resignation. I am so glad that somewhere in the night I got past the quitting point. Oh, yeah, and we all face it, and you say, "Fooey with this place. They don't know what they're going to lose when they lose me. This place is going to crumble financially." Well, just so you know, it might not turn out quite that way, and you might want to get past the quitting point before you hand in that resignation. Can I recommend, if you're ill today, if you're sick, you say, "Brother Owens, in my body there's an illness. I have a disease." Can I recommend to you that you not give up? I've known people that they would get sick and they would fight to stay healthy. And they get to the point where they just want to throw in the towel and say, I'm done fighting this. Well, let me recommend something to you. Get past the quitting point. And why don't you go ahead and decide to live every day until you die? Don't give up. Get past that quitting point. There's somebody under the sound of my voice. You have a burden in your life. I don't know what it is, and nobody else may know what it is, but I'm going to tell you something. You've been hurt. Maybe your dreams in life have been destroyed. Maybe you've been persecuted. Maybe something's come upon you that you never dreamed would come upon you. And it's awful easy for us to take that hit and to take that pain. And then sometimes we just want to throw our hands in the sky and say, I give up. I give in. Folks, hey, if it is that you're carrying a burden that's extra heavy, get past that quitting point. Just keep going for God. In marriages, it can be very hard. You know, you take, when two people get married, you have a man who's a sinner marrying a woman who's a really bad sinner. And you put those two together, and then they tell us we're supposed to have bliss. When a sinner marries a sinner, and then we're supposed to have bliss, somebody doesn't know how to add. How does that add up to that? But let me tell you, marriage can be a challenging relationship. There's no such thing as a perfect marriage. We just have a perfect God that has some perfect solutions. But let me recommend to everybody in here, hey, don't quit on your husband. Don't quit on your wife. Don't quit on your family. Don't quit on your kids. Hey, keep on going. Get past the quitting point in your marriage. I have experienced and been around many people that have celebrated their 50th and their 60th anniversary. Let me tell you something about it. Anybody that's celebrating a 50th anniversary or a 60th anniversary, I'll guarantee you somewhere along the line, they faced a couple quitting points. Every marriage here, get past the quitting point. Let things settle down. Give it another chance. Even with our children. Sometimes you get to the point where, you know, kids, it's a wonderful thing. Like the Bible says children are an heritage of the Lord. I do understand, though, why some species eat their young. That which can be your greatest blessing can be the greatest pain in your backside, I'll guarantee you. Oh, my, as you're training children and the character development, and when you say, whatever you do, son, don't do this, and the very next thing your son does is exactly what you just told him not to do, and you're wondering if he came from your wife's side of the family. But to every mom and dad in here, I beg of you, get past the quitting point. Don't give up on your sons. Don't give up on your daughters. Don't give up on helping that family to become strong. You see, you got to get past the quitting point in marriage. You got to get past the quitting point with jobs and illness and burdens. Hey, even our weaknesses. Folks, I tell you what happens. Anybody here that's trying to serve God and trying to be good, you have weaknesses, you have flaws, you have things that you do, sins in your life. But could I recommend that you not give in to them? You say, well, Pastor, I've tried and I've tried and I've tried. And I over and over again, I commit myself to overcome that character flaw or that sin in my life. And I've just not conquered it yet. Hey, you got to get past the quitting point. You just keep on trying. If you got to try to get that sin out of your life all the way to heaven, you keep on trying. You go into heaven saying, God, I tried. I tried. I tried. I tried. You'll be rewarded for the attempt. But don't give up. Don't give up. Somebody in here, you have a business. Say, these are tough days to build a business. You got to get past the quitting point. Your age. Say, Brother Owens, as I've grown older, life's become harder. My body, there are parts of it that won't work anymore. I try to get it to move. It wants to move after noon comes. Let me tell you, don't give up. Don't give up, senior citizen. Keep on going. I thank God for Brother Robert Acker. Brother Acker, where are you at? Brother Robert is 84 years of age. Yesterday, out on the street corner, preaching and passing out gospel tracts. I preached a sermon on health food here. And I was telling everybody, you got to eat right. You got to eat right. One of our senior citizens came to me and said, Brother Owens, you talking about those preserves being bad for you. She said, when you get my age, you want all the preservatives you can possibly get. Those of you that have ministries, don't quit. Don't quit on your bus route. Don't quit on your Sunday school class. You just got to get past the quitting point. Now, folks, this thing called the quitting point, it's real. I've been there. Most of you that are teenagers or adults, you've been there. I believe Nehemiah was there, and that's why Nehemiah said what he said when he said, "Should such a man as I flee?" I think there was a little mental debating on what he was going to do. Just don't quit. If you're a born-again Christian, under the sound of my voice, we do have an enemy. He is the devil, and he's real. He's going to try to get you to quit on God. Just get past the quitting point. Now, if you're here today, and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I recommend that you trust Him. Let Him save you. Do you know something? I believe God strengthens the Christian in a unique way when they come to the quitting point. You see, you don't have to face the quitting point by yourself. You have Jesus to help you through it. But if you're not saved, you don't have that extra help. I think that's why there is so much chaos among lost people mentally. They don't know what to do. They don't know if they can make it. They don't know if they can take it. If you're a born-again Christian, I'll guarantee you, you can make it, and you can take it, and you can get past the quitting point. If you're not saved, ask Jesus to save you today. Let Him take you to heaven. Hey, you get Jesus living in your heart, and suddenly you'll have a strength that you never knew was available. That'll help you get past the quitting point in life. I was in the car with this fella, and I asked him, "How's it been going?" He told me that dreaded story. It took them about 18 months to rebuild and for him to recoup physically. When he made the statement to me, "Brother Owens, once I got past the quitting point, I was fine." Well, I pulled a 3x5 card out of my pocket and I wrote that down and said, I never want to forget that statement. If you came here today, you say, "I was kind of at the quitting point." Maybe God brought you here for a reason. You got to get past the quitting point. Tomorrow's another day. God's still alive. Victory's still available. And God's going to see you through what you face. I promise you. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. First question is this. Are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact that you would go to heaven? And if you're not sure you're saved, if you're not sure you're saved, you ought to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. Here's the question. If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? If you say, "No, I'm not sure of that. I'm not sure of that, Brother Owens. I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not going to come to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. But if you would say, I'm not sure I'm saved, would you raise your hand and let me pray for you?" I see a hand. Someone else. I see another hand. God bless you. I see another hand. God bless you. Anyone else? You say, I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me, Pastor. Good, I see those hands. You may put those hands down. I see another and yet another. In a moment, we're going to have a thing called an altar call. I'll need my soul winners to be ready. We're going to have an altar call. That means in a minute, we're going to stand and the pianist is going to play. When we stand, if you're not saved, if you'll let us, if you'll leave your seat and you'll come forward, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. But if you don't come forward, here's what you have to do. You have to realize you're a sinner. Bible says, "For there's none righteous, no, not one, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." You must realize that sin, that will separate you from God. The Bible makes it very, very clear that the wages of sin is death. If you realize you're a sinner and that there's a penalty for your sin, and Jesus paid that penalty through His death, His burial, and resurrection. The Bible says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." The Bible teaches us if we'll ask Jesus to come into our heart and be our Savior, He'll save us. Say, "Forgive me my sin, come into my heart and be my Savior." The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You listen, if you raised your hand, if you'll come, we'll take a Bible and show you those verses and help you to be saved. You can be on your way to heaven when you leave. But if you don't come forward, you better ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you. That's a big deal. But now, Are you a Christian today? Are you a born-again Christian? You say, Brother Owens, I'm facing a burden. I'm facing something. When you talk about the quitting point, I believe God has me here today because I needed to be reminded to keep on going. I'm facing some things that maybe I might be at the quitting point in life. And God has spoken to my heart through the sermon today. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Yeah, there are hands all over the place. Probably 100 hands. God bless you. You may put your hand down. We're going to have an altar call. It won't take long. Again, here's how it's going to work. In a moment, I'll signal the pianist. She'll begin to play. I'll ask us to stand, and we'll stand. If you need to come to this altar, you come. Christian, if you need to come and just get on your knees for a moment and say, God, help me, strengthen me. Help me to get past that point of wanting to quit. Wanting to quit on the things that I know I'm supposed to keep doing for you. You come. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. If you need the altar, I hope you'll come. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Everyone standing, if you will. If you need the altar, you come. You need to come and get on your knees for a second and just say, Lord, help me. I need a little extra strength right now, God. Just kneel down there and let God deal with your heart. If you're not saved and you want someone to take a Bible and show you how to be born again, you come. You come. We'll show you how to be born again. The piano will continue to play. Pay very close attention. This is still part of the church service. If you need the altar, you come. As you sit right where you're at, I want you to stop and think about it. Keep on going with those things that are most valuable in life. Don't give up on them. Continue to play, if you will. Is open. This is the last time through the song. We'll have a seat for a moment, and then we'll go on with our day.